Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your holy word which we have read. May our minds and hearts be opened to receive the truth that you have for us this morning. And may our lives be transformed more into the image and likeness of Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. So that reading that Kathleen brought to us from Acts 2 is part of the story of the most amazing day in the life of the church, the day that the church was born, the day that the Holy Spirit came down on Pentecost and the disciples went out to preach the word of God. And the amazing thing was that at the start of that day, there were 120 followers of Jesus, the 12 apostles and the others with them, 120. The end of that day, there were 3,120. It's an amazing growth. Just imagine that for a minute. For every one that began the day, another 25 were added by the end. You can imagine 120, in fact, on an average Sunday in our group of parishes across three services, it's not far off what we would have as a number. Imagine if we went to 3,000. Where would we put them all? What would we do? What happened? What caused this amazing growth? It's a question we should be asking in these days when churches in our part of the world are struggling, and we ought to be turning to the Acts of the Apostles, back to the beginning, and find out what went on, what did they do, what happened, what caused all these people to come to the Lord. Well, you can answer it in different ways. Almost any event that happens, it has more than one explanation at different levels. Say that your football team wins a match and someone says, well, why did you win? You could say, well, we were the better team. Or you could say, well, it just went well on the day. You could say it was all the training that we put in. Or you could just say, well, we scored more goals than they did. There's many different ways to explain the same event, and there's many different ways to explain the day of Pentecost. So on one level, we say it happened because the Holy Spirit came on the disciples and people were filled with the Spirit. And the reason why many people came is that the Spirit of God drew them in and worked in their hearts. And nobody comes to faith, nobody comes to the Lord Jesus Christ without the Holy Spirit drawing them and working in them. So that'd be true. Or we could say it was such an amazing day because of all the prayer that went in beforehand. And when you turn back to Acts chapter 1, you find that the people are constantly in prayer. Those 120 were calling out to the Lord, saying, come, Lord, and bless us. I wonder, do you pray during the week for our Sundays that they would be blessed? So that'd be true as well. Or you could say, well, the reason why it was such a great day was because of the preaching, because Peter came and he stood up and he spoke so clearly and so forcefully that people responded. And that'd be true as well. All of those explanations are right. And then also, the thing that we're really focusing on today, it's not so much the coming of the Spirit, the prayers of the people, or the preaching of the word, but the response of repentance. The reason that so many came to faith is that they repented. They turned back to God. You find again and again in the Bible and in the history of the church that it's repentance that is the doorway to blessing. That when people turn back to God and faith, and when they repent of their sins, that is when God brings great blessing. You find that in the Old Testament. We read there from Isaiah 30. It says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. You find at the end of the Old Testament that the last of the prophets, Malachi, was calling people to repent and come back. Then you find that when Jesus appears at the start of the Gospels, what's his message? It's repent, turn back to God. And then you find right through the New Testament to the very end of it that the message is coming again and again. Repent, turn back to God, turn back to him. And throughout church history, you find that it's when people have heard and responded to a call to repentance that great things happen. One of the greatest preachers of the 20th century, you've probably never heard of him. He was called John Sung. And you've not heard of him because he was in China. And he was sometimes called the Chinese Billy Graham. He preached and many, many people came to faith in China. But the big thing that changed and transformed his preaching from being ineffective to having results was he began to preach about repentance, the need to turn back to God. So what is this repentance? What's it all about? Well, there was a little illustration there about changing our mind, but of course it goes deeper than that. It's not only that we change our mind, but that we change our direction. And I know I've told this before, but I just can't think of a better story than this. The time that I was trying to get home from Galway to Donegal, and I was going round and round a certain roundabout the edge of Galway, and then I headed off on a very promising looking road, but I realized that I was on the route to Dublin, and I could see Dublin on the signs and how many kilometers it was, and the more I went along, the more the numbers were getting smaller. So I was getting closer and closer to Dublin. I knew I was getting further from Donegal. So two things had to happen. One, I had to understand and realize that I was going wrong. And then second, I had to turn around and go the other way. And if I had only had it in my head that I was wrong, that wouldn't have been enough. I had to actually change direction. And the change in direction is no good unless I understood why and where I was needing to go. So that's repentance. Repentance is where we realize in our minds and know in our hearts that we're going wrong and we turn and change direction. That was what happened here in Acts chapter 2, in verse 37 there. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. So they realized that they had gone wrong. They'd rejected Jesus, remember? He had come among them, and they had decided they'd just have him killed. Weren't interested. And so they realized they'd gone wrong. They were cut to the heart. But then they needed to respond. They said, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus." So their response was both inward and outward. Inwardly, they realized they'd gone wrong. They received that message that Peter had for them. And then outwardly, they confessed and they were baptized. Now, of course, on the day of Pentecost, this was the very first day of the church. No one had been baptized yet, apart from maybe the disciples who had been by John. But so they all made this outward, visible display of their faith through baptism. Of course, we live in times when we've had Christianity for years and years. We've been baptized, most of us, when we were babies. But there's still a tremendous value in outwardly speaking and showing our faith in Christ. When I became a Christian, it was at the age of 14. I was I've told about that before, and I understood about Jesus, and I gave my heart to him. I invited him into my life, and I prayed that he would come and forgive me and fill my life, and he did. But I kept it very, very quiet. It was almost totally secret for 2 years until I was 16. And there was one teacher in my secondary school called Reggie Hazlitt, chemistry teacher, great guy. And he knew that I was a believer. And he said, "David, I think the time has come for you to publicly, you know, make a stand and say that you believe in Jesus. And he said, why don't you come along to the Christian group that we have in school and join that? And I did. And I came along and joined it. And one of the things that that group did, it was called the Scripture Union, and it met after school one day. And a couple of times a year, they got up and led an assembly. So we used to have an assembly in the school in a great big hall, and there'd be hundreds and hundreds of all the pupils there, everybody from our own classes. And normally a teacher would get up and speak and give a little message, or a minister would come in and do that. But a couple of times a year, the Scripture Union group would get up and do it. And it was very, very public, and it was very nerve-wracking. And I remember the first time standing up with that group and saying, yes, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus personally, in my heart. I seek to serve and follow him. And actually, it was a great moment, because it was a real strengthening of faith. And just like these people on the day of Pentecost, who publicly stood forth and got baptized, when we publicly acknowledge that we belong to Jesus and we follow him and we love him, it's a tremendous faith strengthening thing. Maybe God will give you an opportunity to declare your faith in some way in these days ahead. Repentance and faith. Here they are in Acts chapter 2. What these people did, the reason why the church grew so spectacularly. Yes, the Holy Spirit came. Yes, there was prayer. Yes, there was good preaching. But there was a response of repentance. People turned back to God. It says there in verse 40 that with many other words, Peter warned the people and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. He gave that call, come back to God. And I can't help reflecting on the fact that although 3,000 people believed, and it was the most amazing day in church history, there were more than 3,000 people in Jerusalem on that day. There were those who heard that amazing preaching of the Apostle Peter, and they said, that's not for me. You know, who's this guy getting up and speaking about that? What would he know? There were people on that day who said, I'm not really sure I need to repent of anything. I'm not really sure I need this Jesus in my heart. It's a sobering thought, isn't it, that people could hear the most wonderful teaching and still turn away. And we know there were many, many people in Jerusalem who didn't yet believe, although over the course of days and weeks, more would be added. So the challenge comes to us. This is a message for all of us. It's a message for me and for you and for everyone. There is a need to repent. There's a need in the first place to turn to God and to have faith in Jesus, to receive his forgiveness, to come to him and to receive salvation. And there's an ongoing need when we go wrong to repent and come back. Maybe the Lord is calling to you today that there is some particular way in which you're going down a wrong track. And the wonderful promise is that he's ready. He's standing by the door, ready to welcome you in through repenting and coming back. Don't be one of those who rejects the best news in the world and ends up shut out from all the blessings that God has. The doorway to blessing is that we turn back to God in repentance and faith. So, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would indeed open up each of our minds, hearts, and lives to hear and respond to your wonderful, wonderful invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.